Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 5. We'll be looking at a few scriptures there in just a moment. We're in a series we're doing on Sunday mornings, just a very short series titled Delivered From. In our first lesson, we talked about delivered from judgment. In our second lesson, we talked about being delivered from inadequacy. In today's lesson, delivered from disappointment. Disappointment. Life is full of disappointment. Unfulfilled dreams, expectations not met. Therefore, we're disappointed. It's important that we're reminded that God is good all the time, but the world is not, right? And so, there is no vaccine for disappointment. And some have a serious case of disappointment. Disappointment is inevitable, but living in the prison of disappointment is optional. See, that's your choice. You don't have to live in disappointment. You can get out of that. At the burning bush, God told Moses, "Bring my people up out of Egypt." The text that was just read a few moments ago, we have Moses believes that God is going to use him to deliver the children of Israel from bondage. And when he goes to Pharaoh, what happens? Pharaoh doesn't let the people go, but rather he increases their hardship. Now they have to go find their own straw for brick. And so instead of being delivered, the life of the Israelites has become much, much, much more difficult. And so in Exodus chapter 5, look with me at verses 19 to 23. 19 to 23, it says, "And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, 'You shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota.' Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, 'The Lord, look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us.' So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why have you brought this trouble on the people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people.'" And so Moses had these expectations, and these expectations were not met. And so Moses is extremely disappointed. You see, disappointment can only reside where hope once lived, right? It can only reside where hope has lived, right? That's the way it works. So for example, let's say you're a child and you're expecting a bicycle for Christmas and you don't get the bicycle. What happens? You are disappointed. But what happens if you're not expecting a bicycle and you don't get one? Well, you're not disappointed because you weren't expecting one. And so, disappointment can only reside where hope has lived. Maybe it's a marriage. You just knew this marriage was going to work. It was not going to fall apart. God was in this thing. You're both believers. But it failed. It failed. So expectations for this relationship were not lived up to. Maybe it's a job. It's a job you always wanted, and you believe you have a real good shot for this job. Then you don't get the job. And so disappointment settles in. Disappointment affects all of us. All of us are affected by disappointment. Let me ask you, when was the last time you were disappointed? When was the last time you were disappointed in God? Maybe a prayer not answered the way that you'd hoped that it would. Have you ever had prayers not answered the way that you hoped that they would? I have. I'm sure all of us have had prayers not answered the way that we thought that they might be answered. And as a result, we were disappointed. We didn't get what we had prayed for, what we had asked God so diligently for. Maybe a loved one died, but you've been praying hard that this loved one would make it, that they wouldn't die. But they died. Disappointment settles in. So, when desired outcomes don't come to pass, we get disappointed. That's the way that it works. Sometimes I think we feel entitled that we're just supposed to get everything we ask for. Things are supposed to turn out the way that we hope they're supposed to turn out. But they don't always turn out that way. Sometimes we kind of feel like, you know, God owes us. You know, God, I've been a faithful follower of you for many, 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 many years. I do my best. You know that I do. I read my Bible. I pray. I attend services. I take the Lord's Supper. I talk to people about Jesus. You know that I'm faithful, God. And so we can believe that somehow God owes us something. And that's what's going on a lot in the religious world. When it comes to money, a lot of these people believe if they give that God is indebted to them. And now God owes them. That's crazy when you think about it. But yet, that's what a lot of people teach. A lot of people teach this. And so we just think because we're faithful and we've done a good job of serving God, and we've raised our kids in the church, and we just feel like, you know, God, you owe me this. And when we don't get it, we get disappointed. Disappointment, as I said, affects all of us. So let me give you three things for disappointment. Number one, you want it. Be honest with God about what you want it. I want to read a text from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, what and what I will answer when I am corrected. And so he's waiting to hear from God. He's waiting to hear an answer from God. Let me ask you, this is an important question. Do you want God to be glorified more than you want to get what you want? Let me read that again. Do you want God to be glorified more than you want to get what you want? What's most important to you? What you want or God glorified? And obviously it should always be God glorified. Sometimes we don't act that way. In chapter 6, the book of Exodus, beginning at verse 1. Let's read down through to verse 8. Chapter 6, 1 through 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go. And with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. By my name, the Lord, I was not known. to them. I have also established my covenant with them and give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from the bond, from bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you as my people, and I will bring, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So, it's important that we're honest with God about what we want. That's important. Number two, ask God to help you want what He wants. All right? And that's what prayer is really all about, if you think about it. Think about it for just a moment. Think about, you know, when Jesus is teaching prayer and He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying God's will be done, not my will be done, God's will be done. Prayer is really asking God what He wants. That's what prayer is. And so maybe what you want isn't what God wants. And have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we get disappointed because God doesn't give us what we want. But what we want may not be what God wants us to have. That just might be the case. And I don't know that we ever consider that. You know, no is an answer to prayer, right? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says not now. Sometimes God says no, and knows an answer. And sometimes God gives you better than what you've asked for. He did that with Solomon. When Solomon said, give me wisdom. He said, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you treasures and all kinds of stuff. And God did. And so maybe what you want isn't what God wants. Look in chapter 9. Look at verses 15 and 16. Chapter 9, 15 and 16 says, Now I have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence. Then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. And so, God's delay is increases His glory. And that's what happened. By delaying this thing, God's glory is increased. And that's exactly what God wanted. And so, do you want what you want more than God's glory? Do you want what you want more than God's glory? And obviously the answer is to be no. We want God to be glorified in all things. And so by God stalling here, it increased His glory. So that was a good thing. That was a good thing. But number three, God will get what He wants. God will get what... And consider God's track record for just a moment. God says, you know, in effect, have I ever made a covenant and not honored it? Have I ever made a promise and not kept it? And of course, no. Every covenant God has made, God has been faithful. Every promise that God has made, God has been faithful. God is the original promise keeper. Right? And you can just go on and on and on and on and on. When have I? And God's track record is just faithful all the way down. And a great verse. A verse that I really appreciate in the book of Philippians. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. And it basically says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. The work that God has begun to do in you, he will continue to do that work and perfect it come the day of Jesus Christ. What a promise. What a promise. That's a promise of security. It's a promise that my relationship with God is, you know, at any moment, you know, I can just lose, you know, my salvation. You know, and that's the way some people act, as though, you know, I mean, you've got to work hard, you know, in order to gain your salvation, forgetting the fact that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so I love that verse because it's a promise that the work God began to do in my life, God will continue to do that work in my life all the way up until the time Jesus shows up to take us home. What a promise. What a promise. So three things I want you to just think about here, just to consider. Number one, be honest with God about what you wanted. So whatever it is you're disappointed in God about, simply be honest with God about what you wanted. And number two, ask God to help you want what he wants. You know you've really grown when you reach that place in your life where you want to give God what he wants. Not what I want, but what he wants. And then three, God will get what he wants. And so today, our God is an amazing God. Our God is a God who delivers from judgment. And that's important because we're all going to face judgment one day. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, or good or evil. And so we will face God in the judgment. Thank God he's provided a way be delivered from the judgment. I don't have to worry about the judgment. I will experience judgment, but I don't have to worry about judgment. Judgment's not going to harm me, and it's not going to harm you if you're in Christ. And he's a God who delivers from inadequacy, and sometimes we feel so inadequate to do so many things in life. Preach and teach, and I just want to go back and say one quick thing about that. And I meant to say it when I preached on inadequacy, why it is important that we encourage people to teach and help people to teach and find the boldness to teach. Why? Because Christianity is a taught religion. It's a taught religion. You don't come to faith in Christ by accident. You don't come to faith in Christ by simply walking through church doors. You are taught. You are taught the gospel. And so Christianity is a taught religion. And so we need teachers. We need teachers. And so God delivers from inadequacy. Maybe you feel inadequate. God can deliver you from that. And God can use you in his kingdom to teach and help people come to know Christ and then help them grow up in Jesus thereafter. Because that's important as well. It's not all about just go out and, you know, find somebody and convert them. But it's hard work after that, helping that person develop and grow. And then today, our God is an amazing God, and He delivers from disappointment. And I think if we approach faith right and we approach God right, we're not going to be nearly as disappointed when our prayers fall through, because we know what God wants is more important than what I want. I just know that. And so it helps me when I don't get what I want, right? It kind of breaks the fall. It's a whole lot easier knowing that. And so our God is a God who delivers from disappointment in so many ways. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're disappointed in God. Maybe you're disappointed in God, you know, allowed a loved one to pass. But you prayed so earnestly that that person might live. Maybe you lost a job and it was the job you always wanted. And you feel disappointed. Maybe you're angry with God. You know, how dare God do this when I have been faithful? Sometimes that's the way we act. We have to really get our thinking squared away, because that's not proper thinking, right? We shouldn't think like that, but we do. And so God wants to deliver you from disappointment. And so I want to encourage you, maybe you're struggling with some things today, come to Him. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you with the disappointment that you're experiencing. Disappointment is real. And when you experience it, right? I mean, it's not something you say, okay, disappointment, go away. It doesn't just do that. It's not the way it works. It'd be nice if it did that, but it doesn't work that way. So you got to work through stuff. God will help you work through. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I hope and pray that this morning you'll say, you know what, this is the day that I'm going to come and I'm going to place my faith and my trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior. We hope you'll do that today. We're going to sing a song. And as we sing the song, it's to invite you to come. Come. Let us share the gospel with you. Or if you're dealing with disappointment, come. Let us pray about those things in your life you're struggling with. And God will see you through. Come as we sing.